Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, in the heartland, in the bunker, right here in north central Indiana, transmitting to you from Warsaw, Indiana, or at least outside Warsaw, in the well-fortified bunker here next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern, right ho. And to communicate with Script, you write P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Go to resist.com, our big website. You can download everything under the sun and a whole lot of free stuff, too. And if you like some of the things up there that you'd like to purchase, well, then order them from merchandise at resist.com. But at the same time, send a copy of your order to the Box 401 in Indiana with your payment, okay? And that goes for all you guys that are already sending in your radio club dues. No problem. Okay, let's see here. It is February the 5th, 2009. Thursday. This week's getting down to the end here. Not much warmer here in the heartland. Still got ice and snow on top of the ice, but we do have sunshine today. How about that? Yes, we do. One caution that I've been meaning to tell you, and you should already know it, and that is, you know, we have a number of guests that come on the show and like that, and they sometimes will give you emails to communicate with, and that's fine and dandy, but I don't wish to offend anybody, but let me tell you something. Once you make contact with an email other than my own, you're on your own, because I have not done deep investigations on any of these people. I have not done any give them lie detector tests. Of course, I'm going to as time goes on, and I can get them to sit down, or when it's possible, I'm going to do that. But you must understand, because a lot of times people say, well, Tommy says they're okay, they must be wonderful. Well, they are. They're wonderful. They do great shows and everything else. But always remember, if you're communicating with somebody other than me, and that's fine. I got no problem with that. But remember, you're on your own, because I can't guarantee the security with other people. And like I say, that's no offense to all my friends on the radio, but that's the time we live in. I was sitting down with one of our boys the other day, and he asked me about a guy I know out in California. He says, do you trust that guy? I said, and this guy is not really active in the political thing. He's just sort of a business kind of guy. And I looked him right in the eye, and I said, hey, I don't totally trust anybody. That's the only way you can survive. And you shouldn't either. You should always be watching for telltale signs of things. The little question dropped here and there, the little comment dropped here and there, all the little things that an investigator would be looking for. And unfortunately, that's the times we live in, and that's what we have to do. So don't feel bashful by... it's not offensive at all. It's strictly, well, the mob would say business, but we say it's strictly our racial beliefs, and to protect ourselves, we have to be like the wolf. We talk about the wolf. We're always talking about the lone wolf and all that. Well, the wolf is very wary. I've got a half wolf here, and he'll lay there on his little bed, and he'll just be watching me. His eyes will be open and they're sort of all half closed, and he'll just be watching me as I walk around. And you don't know what's on his mind, whether he's thinking, boy, I'd like to, he'd be a good meal or what. Well, I love that man. So be like the wolf in all ways, okay? All right, we're going to have another one. Frankie's getting really busy over there in the land of Lincoln, They're celebrating 200 years of Lincoln. I'm not a Lincoln fan. Now, some of the guys down south think I'm a Lincoln fan, but I'm not a Lincoln fan because if Lincoln wanted to, he could have avoided that war between the states. And plenty of guys down south could have helped avoid it, too. So I criticize all of them equally. And that firing on Fort Sumter was dumb. It was sort of like the Gulf of Tonkin deal, you know. So, anyhow, he's going to be on here, and we'll let him rant. And he likes to rant.
Ghost Wolf Radio calling. Ghost Wolf Radio calling. This is Ghost Wolf Radio calling. Calling out to you, atomized, marginalized, dumbed down, disaffected white people out there. It's been a while since I've been with you guys. I think it's been a few days, maybe taking a little hiatus from the Ghost Wolf shows for at least a week or so. So hope you guys can use this stuff I'm going to be putting out today. I'm going to be talking about troop leading procedures today. An associate sent this in to me about a week ago. And, you know, I've talked about Met T and Akoka before, but, you know, I thought about troop leading procedures, but I forgot some of the steps, so I'm glad that this guy sent this, because I actually didn't remember some of them or the order that they were supposed to be in. So, but a couple things I want to talk about here. Okay. Incidentally, have you guys seen the stimulus package that Obama wants to put out? I guess he wants to spend $248 million on furniture for the new Homeland Security headquarters, $400 million for the Center of Disease Control to screen and prevent STDs. Well, that don't sound too bad. $1.4 billion for rural waste disposal programs. And there's the $650 million for the digital television converter box coupon program. I could go on and on, but there's just a lot of waste. A lot of waste. And, you know, I was reading something yesterday about the about doublespeak. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that phrase before. It actually, you were probably exposed to it if you read George Orwell's 1984. But this doublespeak is everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere in our society. You know, I mean, think of the CIA when they abduct someone and torture them. What's that called? It's called rendition, right? You know? And it's like there's four types of doublespeak. One of them's a euphemism. You know, like in 1984 when the U.S. State Department started talking about killings in other countries that were having an issue with human rights and all, decided to use the phrase of arbitrary deprivation of life. You know, this avoids the embarrassing thing of government-sanctioned killing in other countries. This is language that is meant to alter our perception of reality. And this stuff is everywhere in our society. And, you know, the system that we hate, the system that we want to see come down and completely destroyed, we don't want to see it reformed, right? We don't want to reform anything. We want to tear it down and start all over again. And if that means going back to the Stone Age for a while, so be it, you know. I would rather have us go through some discomfort for a little while than for the race to disappear completely, you know. But the system uses doublespeak everywhere. You know, they have a nice sounding phrase, you know, for what the action really is. And we don't do that. You know, we white separatists, we call a spade, you know. And it's just characteristic of what is going on in our society, you know, with the perennial political shell game that that the politicians use to dazzle us with their nice-sounding words while they fleece us in their actions. You take a look at what's going on in our society and what's happening to men and how we're being effeminized. You know what? Think about this. Any of you guys know what a comforter is? A comforter. It's just a blanket. Now, why do men like us know what a comforter is? Is this essential to our survival in the hunter-gatherer sense of the word? No. So what are we? We're consumers, right? We're pawns to an effeminizing system. You know, Ralph Lauren, Viagra, breast implants, some guy's name on our underwear, Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart's polishing the brass on a Titanic because it's all going down. So maybe it's time to fuck off with your Xbox and your PlayStation and your pornography. Fuck off with your nigger ball, American Idol, and Desperate Housewives. You know, I picked a small phrase from Fight Club there and tweaked it to my own desire. I like to do stuff like that because I don't abide by any rules. Troop leading procedures. Let's go over them. There's 8 of them. And like I said, this is geared towards a military, government-sanctioned military operation. But, you know, you could take these and tweak them for your own thing, okay? Some of them you won't use. Some of them you won't use because you're a ghost wolf. You're just a one-man army. Some of you guys who have cells out there will be able to apply some of this stuff. So when I read them off, I'll read off what the steps are, and then I'll try to give you some kind of idea of what maybe you can do as a cell or what you can do as a lone wolf, okay? Step number one would be receive the mission. Now, that can happen in a variety of ways. If you're a cell and the alpha dog of the cell would come across and he would say, hey guys, we got something coming up here on Saturday, leave that date open, start making excuses to your wives and your girlfriends that you're going to be not out of town, but you tell them you're going somewhere, tell them you're going to a cage fighting event or something like that. You know, we're going to be doing this, and then maybe you can give an advance notice, like, you know, hey, this is going to happen in 2 weeks, and the members of your cell will start making sure that the people, their family and friends who know them, who don't know that they're in a cell, will start making excuses to be incognito that day. You can also receive the mission as a ghost wolf by just, you know, you're walking down the street, you're reconning an area, and all of a sudden you see something that says, hey, target of opportunity. You see a specific person come out of a building. You check your watch, and they're carrying a briefcase, and maybe it's an interracial couple. You look at your watch, and I'm like, okay, they're coming out of that building on a Thursday at 8 o'clock in the morning. Maybe I need to do something about that. Okay, number two, issue a warning order. You know, you can, if you're a cell, issue a warning order by saying, we're going to be getting together this Saturday to do a little operation for us. You know, if you're a ghost wolf, you don't issue a warning order because you're just by yourself. Okay. Number three, make a tentative plan. Now this, you computer savvy guys will be able to make good work of this because you guys could probably find a lot of information online. You know, if a guy was in the military, part of his making a tentative plan would be conduct a map reconnaissance, and let's say the mission he's got to do is an ambush on a trail, and he would look at this trail, and he would say, okay, the trail does an L shape right here at this specific grid coordinate, we'll set up an L-shaped ambush right there. But as a ghost wolf or as a cell, you make your tentative plans by doing all the research you can on the internet, going to Google, bringing up a map of a specific town that this event's going to take place, looking at satellite photos of the specific objective, looking at your routes to and from the objective. You know, like I said before, many times you want to try to avoid using city streets to get to your objective. If you can get there by cutting across a field, you know, coming up a dried-up creek bed or a creek bed. Remember, if you're going to be a part of Ghost Wolf operations or cell structure operations, you can't be weary of getting dirty. You know, you can't have a problem with that. You're going to get dirt under your fingernails, okay? So make a tentative plan. Do all your internet research. Get satellite photos. Get maps of the area, okay? You may want to Google what kind of things are in, you know, this town. Like, you know, I was doing some scouting on Sunday, and I came across this thing called Catholic Charities in a certain town that I was, you know, if you was to look at my body language from an apartment, you know, story window, you know, like the ninth story, and you're looking at this guy walking around, I'd be like a guy who's just going on an aimless walk. If you were to look at my body language, I got my hands in my pocket, I'm looking down at the ground like I'm in deep thought. Maybe every now and then I'll flex my right knee, making it look like my knee's bothering me, making it look that my mind is preoccupied with things that are uninteresting. And came across this building called Catholic Charities. And I walked up to it, and all the writing was in Spanish, you know, the hours of operation and what days they're open. All of it was in Spanish in a predominantly white town. Still predominantly white. I don't want to say what town that was. It was in Crook County. But stuff like that. I mean, you can Google, you know, Catholic Charities organizations in this town, Muslim mosques, churches with, you know, what they call it, services in Spanish, you know. Any church that caters to Mexican people, you know, that, you know, what they'll do, they'll have, like, the service for Anglos in, like, in the early morning, and then the services for the Chinese or the Spanish or the Africans will be Sunday evening. You'll find a lot of churches with that. That is an enemy institution. Think of it as an enemy installation. You know, you're part of an army, and you're going to attack a radar installation. Really, there's no difference between the two, okay? So number three is make a tentative plan. Number four, initiate movement. And you can do this by making sure you have all of the tools that you would need for the job. Do you need a hammer? Do you need a chisel? Do you need a hacksaw? Bolt cutters? Hatchet? You would buy these things. And like I've said before, you would buy them nowhere near where you work or where you live. Seems like a lot of waste of gas to go 50 miles to Ace Hardware or Home Depot to buy something. I think that's good because you stand a less chance of running into someone you know. They're like, hey, what you buying a hatchet for? Doing some tree trimming or something? I mean, you don't want to have these conversations. Okay, so to avoid them, you would use stores that are geographically somewhat far from where you live and where you work. I know it sounds like I'm beating a dead horse with this stuff, but I think sometimes repetition is the best teacher, okay? And what you do buy from there, you will make sure that, you know, if they have a sticker on there that has the barcode, you'll peel that off. If it has a serial number on it, you'll do your best to grind it off, you know, just in case you lose it, okay? Conduct recon. Okay, now if your operation, conduct recon, by the way, is number five. If your op, for example, let's use the Atlas here for an example. You know, I have this thing for the state of New York. I don't know what it is about New York. But I was in New York City, Manhattan, Queens, in October of 97. And I was just kind of blown away how big New York is, you know. But let's say I lived in Albany, New York. Okay? You know, right up the road from me, I got a town of Troy, New York. And to the northwest of me, I got a town of Schenectady. Okay? If I'm an activist, if I'm a ghost wolf, a lone wolf, or I'm a, you know, a guy who's well known, or somewhat well known to Zog because of my racial beliefs, or I've caused a lot of ruckus at the local college about racial things, chances are I'm probably not going to be able to do any work in Albany, New York. So I may want to go up to Schenectady. I notice if I take 87 South, I believe that's going to run me right into the shithole of, I can take that south of Newark, Patterson, Union City, Jersey City, all these non-white shitholes, and I can cross that body of water there. What is that, the Hudson? I don't know what it is. Whatever river. No, it is the Hudson. Cross the Hudson, go into New York. Go all up Staten Island and fucking Queens and Brooklyn. And the whole time I'm causing havoc, they're going to be looking in their local pool of criminals to see who did what, you know? Because a good ghost wolf from Albany would maybe, if he did something that the public would witness, he would shout something at the, what the police would call a crime scene. We don't call it a crime scene because we're not committing crimes, okay? We would, you know, shout something like, "Motherfucker, you owed me $500 for 6 months now. You don't want to pay me my money? Fuck you, now you're dead." Or you could say something to the effect of, "You want to fuck around with my wife, you son of a bitch? Now you're a dead motherfucker." You know, just, I mean, make sure you're wearing clothing that is uncharacteristic and nondescript. Okay? If I was a ghost wolf living in Albany, I could take 90 West and take that to Utica. I can continue on. I guess maybe it'd take an hour and a half to get to Utica. Maybe 2 hours to get to Syracuse. Jump on 81 North. Take that to Watertown. There's a military installation over in that area called Fort Drum, New York. Now, if you try to pull up any satellite photos of military installations, they're going to be blurred out, so... Conducting a recon, a lot of times you have to walk the actual ground. And when you walk the ground, you're going to walk the ground the way I did on Sunday. You're going to be nonchalant with casual confidence about your... You got to be cognizant of your body language. I can't stress that enough. You avert all kinds of suspicion from nosy people. There's a lot of nosy people in our society. So you may need to walk the ground, and I suggest you walk the ground during daylight hours, and you walk the ground at night. And when you do your night recon, like I said on, I believe, the last show, you don't want to have anything incriminating on you, because you want to recon your route to and from your objective, and you want to see if you trigger any of these motion sensors that trigger lights to go on and stuff like that. You want to, you know, make note of stuff like that, because you may need to come to that location in the wee hours of the morning and disengage that light somehow using a tool. Remember, Zog has a tool mark analysis. They can, you know, if you use a pair of pliers on something, and they can look at the marks that pair of pliers has left behind, and they can magnify it by 250,000 times or whatever, and determine if your pliers made that mark. So I suggest you do a day recon and a night recon. On a day recon, you want to look for where the we're seeing a lot of cameras in our society these days. Maybe not as much as England. But it's getting there. And, you know, you got these traffic cameras, and they're at the major intersections. You got to look for stuff like that. And then the night you do your op, you want to avoid, as best you can, driving through that intersection. Even if you was to drive through that intersection, then the op that you would do would take place maybe 3 hours later. So what? You want to avoid any kind of overt surveillance cameras. If there's a bank that has a surveillance camera that points towards the street, you want to do your best to avoid driving by that bank. Now, the thing is, what you may need to do, you may need to find, and you do this by doing your map, recon and your satellite recon on Google or Google Earth or whatever website you would use. You may need to park your car a mile away, you know, a quarter of a mile, half a mile, in some apartment complex, making sure the apartment complex doesn't have surveillance cameras, okay? And if you're in a rental, and maybe you get a rental car, and just for a time being, maybe you put different plates on the rental car. You know, you got some license plates, and you super glued some magnetic strips on the back of it, so you don't got to go through the whole thing of unscrewing the bolts that hold the license plate on and putting yours on. This way, if you got magnetic strips on the back of it, make sure you got enough magnetic material super glued to the back of your license plate where it will hold. You could buy sheets of magnet. You could basically buy a Hobby Lobby. I don't know if you guys would have that, but we got this thing called Hobby Lobby in Illinois. And it's, you know, if you want, you know, it's a store that really caters to arts and crafts. So, and if you used to go shopping for any store that's got, and let's say you don't have a Hobby Lobby. Let's say you were to go to Home Depot. Hey, man, where can I buy sheets of magnet? Even reconning where to buy certain stuff, you would go to a Home Depot or Ace Hardware or Hobby Lobby that is far away from where you live and where you work. Okay? Want to put that in there. Okay, number six, you would complete the plan. This is very easy to do after that you have walked the ground on which you plan on doing something. Maybe the something that you do is going to take place in an apartment complex parking lot. And you've looked at numerous satellite pictures and photos of the apartment complex, and you know the best routes into the complex and out of the complex. And you, I don't know why I keep hearing this fucking clicking in my ears, but it's very distracting. Anyways, you want to look at stuff like that. And if your thing is going to take place in that parking lot, you know, you want to walk through during the day. You want to get to know where, you know, the lay of the land. You also want to walk through at night. You know, is you walking through a certain area going to trigger any motion sensors that's going to, cause lights to come on? Okay, are there surveillance cameras? Okay, so that's how you complete the plan, by doing your walkthrough. After you've done number five, conduct your recon, you complete the plan because you've done your walkthrough. You're like, okay, I'm not going to go in this way. I'm going to go in that way. And when I egress out of there, then I'm going to choose this route instead. Okay, so complete the plan. After you've done your recon, step number five, you complete the plan. Number seven, you issue an operations order. Since we're not a government-sanctioned military group, if you're a cell, you would say, all right, we're gonna get together on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock at my place for a detailed planning on what we're going to do. If you want to use the phrase operations order, go ahead. Okay? Here's where you delegate certain things. And you know what? You would also not only... you would try to rehearse what you would do, you know. If you can rehearse the actions on the objective without drawing attention to yourselves, then do it. If you have to build a sand table or, you know, use G.I. Joe fucking dolls and little toy soldiers to mimic your movements or whatever on a pool table that you've made into a topographic model of the area that you're going to be working in, to do that. Okay, if you're going to be out and about running through the motions, that could attract attention. So your best bet would be maybe to do that sand table walkthrough where everyone knows what role they're going to do. And it might be not a bad idea to, when you do your step number five, you conduct your recon and you do it on foot, that you would you would walk through with your guys, and you guys would all have the you would walk through with your entire cell, not having anything incriminating on you in case you could stop. Okay? Maybe the cell leader would have like the address of the rental office on there. So if you do get stopped by security or nosy cops or whatever, you're like, yeah, we're looking for this rental office here. We want to rent an apartment here, and we're going to be renting an apartment together to save on costs and stuff like that. You know, just everyone's got their cover story handy. You always need to have a cover story. And go, and you know what? Try to shoot holes in your own cover story, because an agent of Zog may do that and think on your feet. So if you come up with a cover story, try to shoot holes in your own cover story to see if it'll work, see if it'll hold water, okay? But it's not a bad idea to conduct your recon, your walkthrough recon, in the daytime and at night so everybody sees the lay of the land. And you guys are going to walk through just like a group of guys, just jaw-jack, and you're going to make sure that you're cognizant of your body language. You're not going to be looking furtively over your shoulder, you know. But you're going to, with casual confidence, make, you know, observations on everything around you, you know. Hello? Stop fucking doing that! Okay. Anyways. Number eight would be supervise, okay? And to supervise a cell structure type of thing. You would, if you were the leader of this, that you make sure everybody's got their equipment. You know, if you're part of a cell and your leader wants to micromanage, wants to make sure you're doing everything correct and this and that, don't get an attitude. That's his job. As a good cell leader, he needs to micromanage, make sure everybody's got their piece of equipment, make sure everybody took care of a task that were assigned them, like maybe some person had to recon something, a specific person who lived within the objective area, or maybe this person had to make sure that he cut the wires to a certain light on a certain corner or something, or something like that. Good cell leader will micromanage, so that falls under supervise, okay? So these troop leading procedures can be tweaked to your specific operation. You know, some of them may not fall into play if you're by yourself, but if you got a cell structure, you can use this to make sure that your operation runs smooth, okay? And that is receive the mission. Number one, receive the mission. Two, issue a warning order. And remember, your warning order is not going to be as detailed as your operation order for step number seven. It's just a quick thing. Say, hey, we got an activity coming up Saturday night. Make sure you're free that night. Okay, number three, make a tentative plan. Number four, initiate movement. Number five, conduct recon. Six, complete the plan. Seven, issue an operations order. That's where you have all your details worked out, okay? And before step seven, everybody should have seen the lay of the land and where the operation is going to take place. Everybody needs to take part in the recon. You know, if you have to pose as guys just going for a walk with nothing incriminating on you, then do that. And eight would be supervise, okay? Now, I came across something years ago, and I never gave it any kind of credence because I thought the guy who told it to me was just bullshitting me. But this following technique I learned from a Special Operations Forces SF guy, and I learned this years ago from him. And then years later, I met another Special Forces kind of guy, and he verified what he said, and I always thought that he was bullshitting. But they teach that when you're coming up on someone, you're sneaking up on a sentry. First of all, very rarely, it's almost impossible to sneak up on somebody on, maybe you can do it on a carpeted floor or a hardwood floor, but maybe a solid floor, you could sneak up on somebody and tap them on the shoulder. But most likely in a field type of setting, you're not going to be able to do that. You're going to sneak up to maybe 10 feet from the guy, and then you're going to have to rush in, you know, for a blitz attack. Okay? One of the things that they teach is that when you're sneaking up on someone, you know, you have a low posture, you're hunched over, you got your knife in your right hand if you're right-handed, you don't want to look directly at the guy. Because the human animal, the hair goes up on the back of our neck when we feel like we're being watched. You know, we have that feeling. You know, we ever get the feeling you're being watched? Well, don't ever discount that or ignore that. That has been honed into your genetic and biological history over millions of years. If you feel like you're being watched, chances are you are, okay? So if you're sneaking up on someone, you don't want to look directly at them. You want to look down at the heels of their feet. I know this sounds incredulous, but believe me, they swear by this. When you're sneaking up, when you're making your move, when you're moving stealthily, you're looking at the heels of the guy in front of you because he's got his back to you, okay? By looking at his heels, you also can look at the ground ahead of you, and you can avoid stepping on anything noisy. So you're looking at the heels of the person in front of you, and you are thinking of the color black. You're not thinking of your technique you're going to do. You're not thinking of the operation. You are thinking of the, just picture black in your mind. Picture a piece of black, you know, cardboard paper or something in your mind. Just think of the color black. Why? And it sounds hard to believe, but these guys teach that it reduces your aura. Reduces your aura. I mean, you know, you guys have been in a situation where you just felt like someone was behind you. You turn around, oh, it's my cousin or whatever, you know. All of us have that feeling. And like I said, it's been built up in you over thousands and thousands of years of evolution, okay? So you, lost my train of thought here. So you think of the color black, because supposedly if you're thinking of the color black, you have a low posture. So if he was to turn around, you're not going to be directly in his line of sight. You've got a low profile. You're hunched over, you know. You're thinking of the color black. You're looking at the heels of the person in front of you. You're not looking directly at his chest or at his head, okay? Because if he's going to turn around, you'll see that in his feet. I mean, by reading his feet, you'll see him start to turn, and then you have no choice but to blitz him, you know? So you're not going to run away because he's got a firearm and you don't. Or your firearm or your rifle strapped across your shoulder or wherever, you know, because you need to dispatch this person with extreme prejudice, but in a quiet kind of way. Okay. Another thing I want to point out. You know, I watch a lot of documentary television about certain things, sometimes dealing with crime, sometimes not. And the one thing you can count on to messing up your plans, to messing up your hard, you know, your well-laid plans, is a spouse or a girlfriend who's pissed off at you. If you're in an abusive relationship, first of all, you shouldn't be in an abusive relationship with a white woman, okay? If you're that kind of guy, then, yeah, I suggest you just shut off the damn computer right now. Don't even bother to listen to the rest of this show. Because if you like to abuse, physically abuse white women or mentally abuse them, you're not my kind of guy, all right? So, but the one thing that could trip you up, you know, you got everything thought out. Your entry into the objective, your egress from there. You got everything thought out. You know, you pull it off and it goes, you know, the cops don't know what happened, man. They're just like scratching their heads and like, what the fuck happened here? And sure enough, one thing that could trip you up is a spouse or a girlfriend, an ex-spouse, who's pissed off at you. Okay? Now, first of all, if you're in a relationship, you want to be a good guy. You do not want to be abusive at all. Okay? Because I'm telling you, it will come back to haunt you, okay? If you're not in a relationship and you want to be a ghost wolf, well, that is just beautiful, okay? Because think of the leverage that they can have on you because of your relationship. Now, if you're in a relationship, I'm not saying to break up with her, but, man, keep her in the dark about everything, okay? She starts becoming nosy and getting, like, I think you're cheating on me. You need to use the most emphatic language to impress upon her, not physically, but in a respectful manner, tell her, so listen, I am not involved with anything. And, you know, you got to leave it up to your own call. Do you include her in on your activities? You know, if she's not racially aware, first of all, you know, this is really dependent on the person what I'm talking about here. See, I can do this. I can have a relationship with a girl a white woman who's not racially aware and lead a double life. I can do that. I've practiced lying all my life. Lying is an art, okay? All warfare is based on deception. It's based on lying. It's based on having people think something of you that isn't true. Remember what I said on the last show, that people's perception of you is like a blank canvas, and you're the painter. You decide what's painted on that canvas, okay, of the canvas of perception in people's mind. So, you know, I know I'm kind of beating a dead horse here, but so what? You need to listen to this. Do not abuse your spouse. Do not get involved with a woman who could possibly compromise you, no matter how fine she is, you know. Come on, we're doing this for some very important shit here, okay? We want to extract our pound of flesh from the system that has betrayed us and sold us out and is merrily rounding us up into a pit of oblivion, okay? That's what's going to happen. And remember, history only remembers what you did last. You can be this great guy all your life, and a lot of people do that. A lot of people rest on their laurels. You know, I've heard guys in the struggle do this. Man, I used to be really involved, man. You didn't know me back in the 80s, man. I was doing all kinds of stuff. Well, what have you done lately? You know? It's like that song. It's from a nigger artist. I don't really want to quote it. But what have you done for me lately? Oh, I think it was Janet Jackson. You know? So what have you done for the struggle lately? You can't say, oh, man, I did some good. I mean, guys that are imprisoned, Richard Scutari, this does not apply to you. You guys that are doing time, this is not apply to you. You guys are prisoners of war. Okay? So, do not abuse a wife or a girlfriend. Do not get involved with someone who could possibly compromise. Remember what I said before? Know thyself. And few men ever do. Know your weaknesses, but know what can compromise you. Do you have a mother who's always sticking her nose in your business? Man, you need to think more and more about how you're going to go about things. Okay? I used to tell people that when I'm going to be out of town, you know, I'll say, you know what, hey, don't call me on Saturday, man, because I'm going to a cage fighting thing in Saturday or in Hammond, Indiana, you know, because these cage fighting events are not heavily advertised. You know, they may get flyers in the various martial arts schools about upcoming shows and this and that, but for the most part, you're not going to hear them advertised on TV. So it's a perfect excuse to get away. Or you're going to a kickboxing match or a kickboxing tournament that's going to take place at this high school. High schools and college gymnasiums will rent out their space for things like that, you know? So think of what you... Okay. You know, I was watching this thing on astronomy yesterday on TV, and this guy was saying the Chinese were possibly the first, you know? And it says, I mean, I'm sick and tired of hearing about the fucking Chinese. If the Chinese were so superior... I mean, look at the lineage of astronomy we have in the West. We have guys like Kepler. We have guys like Newton, Galileo, Copernicus. I mean, these guys are world renowned. Why? Because they were fucking smart. That's why. If the Chinese were so superior, how come the West didn't know about them? Well, the Chinese were, you know, they didn't want to mix with outsiders and this and that. So what? If they were so superior, we would have known about all their shit in the West. The Chinese knew about our things, you know, thanks to guys like Marco Polo and stuff like that. So, don't listen to shit like that. Don't let that damage you. I mean, yeah, you know what? I'm not a guy to take credit away from someone when credit is due. I think the Japanese make fine samurai swords. You know, their sword construction is pretty good. You know, the only part of the blade that they harden, or the only part of the sword they harden is the blade. Whereas the hilt of the blade, the backside of the part of the blade that's not sharpened, that's actually a softer metal. It acts like a shock absorber when they cut someone's head off or whatever. So it's a finely constructed sword. I'm not saying anything, you know, I will give credit where credit is due. But, to impart, and I see this a lot, because we live in anti-white times. I see that, that the white man is like, you know, he doesn't give credit for anything anymore. He only gets credit for screwing shit up. But you know what? I'm just not going to buy it anymore, and I hope you guys don't either. And not that I was buying it before. I'm sick of it. I'm at a point where I want to see blood in the streets over this shit, you know? All right. Let's say, for example, you're on the movement. You're in a tactical situation. You're dressed in dark clothing, camouflage clothing. Maybe even you got a sniper-style ghillie suit on, okay? And you're moving through a wooded area at night, or maybe a field, or a field with intermittent trees and bushes. Up ahead, if you stumble onto someone and they shine a flashlight on you, sometimes the best course of action is to just freeze all movement, especially if there's a lot of trees around you. And you don't have your white face shining like a fucking star out there in the middle of the blackness. You have a ski mask on. You have a ninja-style face covering on. You have maybe a balaclava on your face or a bandana or something covering your face. Maybe camouflage paint stick or something. But sometimes the best course of action when somebody flashes a flashlight in your direction is to just freeze. Okay? That has worked for me, believe it or not. I don't want to go into specifics, but I tell you what, if I didn't have military training, I probably would have ran away, and that would have been heard. And that, remember, the human eye notices movement. Okay? So if I would have ran, or I would have, you know, egressed out of there, that would have been seen. Somebody would have called the police, you know. So remember, if you have a light, remember, if somebody flashes a flashlight to see what's out there, most likely they don't have infrared. Infrared is the enemy of all nighttime operations. You just can't hide from it. I mean, you can wear layers. You can maybe put, like, maybe wear a couple trash can liners over your torso, maybe throw army-style poncho over you. I mean, you better have a water source for that, because you're gonna sweat your ass off dressed like that. But, you know, I mean, I heard that the Mexicans do that. They come across the border, you know, and they try to dodge infrared by wearing just multiple layers of trash bags on their body. And some of these, you know, invaders have actually died from heat stroke and heat exhaustion and stuff like that. So if you're walking through an area and someone flashes a flashlight, like, from like, to 100 feet away, you know, and it's scanning about, freeze. If it's scanning about, it doesn't see you, okay? If it locks on your location... And remember, you got your head tilted slightly down, because remember, you don't want the flashlight ruining your night vision. And while this is going on, you got at least one eye closed. You want to maintain night vision. And I know I've said this before, do not get LASIK surgery if you have glasses. If you've had it already, well, do the best you can. But if you haven't gotten it already, don't get it. Okay? Because it destroys like 30% of your night vision. Night vision is important. There's no guarantees we're going to be living in a society 5 years from now that has streets that are lit up and generators that are running. You know, I mean, we could get like a fucking solar flare that's going to knock out all electronical, you know, communications. I mean, you know, just knock out all our satellites. That is within the realm of possibility, you know. So, free movement if you've got a flashlight flashing in your direction. If it's scanning about, you know you're good to go because he doesn't see you. You're also good to go because they don't have infrared. And most likely, they don't have starlight scope either. You guys have seen the war movies out of Hollywood where somebody's looking through a night vision. Not infrared. Infrared looks for heat source. A night vision is just something that magnifies starlight and moonlight. And you look out to the field in front of you or the woods in front of you and everything looks green. And it's hard to walk with these things on because they don't give you real good depth perception, you know. You don't know what deep holes in the path in front of you, you know? So you got to watch it if you're wearing a pair of those night observation devices, you know, stuff like that. Nods. Okay, so freezing all movements may help you. It will help you, trust me. Okay? I didn't have a whole lot today, but I think it's definitely time for us to start getting our pound of flesh from this system. Because, you know, it's hyperbole for me to think that they're not destroying our race, okay? So I know this is kind of a short show. I got this clicking going on in my ears, like whatever, and it's very distracting, so I'll let Tom deal with that for the next show. But we must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children, and stay alert, stay alive, pay attention to detail, okay? 14 words and carpe noctem. Locked up in their prisons while nigger thugs run free. After the sun has gone down, we cannot walk the streets. The system has stripped us of our freedom. They suppress our racial pride. The only way to make them feel regret is when sellouts start to die. You want this martial law to cease? You want this tyranny to end? Then bloody acts of violence need to be your only friend. The treason of white politicians, we must not take anymore. Give us liberty or meet your death. Either way, we will be restored. Darkness around us. Hell is marching behind. We've been thrown into an abyss of treason, and we will not toe the line. So calling all ghost wolves, calling all insurgent cells, the time is long past for Aryans to unleash hell. No one lives forever. A violent path you must choose. The most dangerous white man in the world is the one with nothing to lose.
Hello? Well, there he goes, Guerrilla Radio Man, for another documentary, another commentary. Yeah, well, I hope this doesn't get us into the federal prison. Well, anyhow, here we go. And, I have two lines coming into the bunker here. And I tapped into that line to record Guerrilla Radio Man, and I forgot that on my home line. So I picked up the phone to call someone, and you probably heard that. You'll hear that on there, and Frankie goes, ah! So, anyhow, we'll put it on the other line from now on, you know. This hee-haw situation we've got here is something else. Well, I see Obama's having a little problem. Looks like his first, 20 days in office is getting a little shaky. I knew it. They're going to throw all this stuff in Obama's lap and let him try to swim out of it, man. Like he does somebody on Halloween had dumped over an outhouse and he had fallen in the crapper. I see Big Bill Gates went to a big gathering of big shots and he made a big point of uncapping a jug full of mosquitoes into the audience as well. I guess just poor people shouldn't have to put up with mosquitoes, so he at least let them loose in the room of big shots. He loves those little nigger boys in Africa. You know, a lot of people didn't know how millions of Chinese during World War II were on the side of the Japanese. It's a Vichy-style government, and nobody wants to talk about that. It was a collaborationist army. It was fully equipped with planes and tanks and Nazi helmets. Wang was the collaborationist leader. You can get this information, find out more about it in Wikipedia. And it's interesting, because I'd never heard of that.
Hello, you've reached 721-8853. I can't come to the phone right now. Please leave your name, telephone number, and a short message after the beep. I will return your call as soon as I can. Thank you.
Wake up, white man. This is Daniel Carter of the KKK in Mississippi. Remember, white people, no matter what you call a wool-headed, bubble-lipped, spear-chucking nigger, the word nigger will always fit him best. Because a rose by any other name is still a rose, and a nigger by any other name is still a nigger. We have called them negroes, niggers, coons. But remember, white man, no matter what you call that nigger, he is still a nigger. And if you call him anything long enough, it becomes a bad word. In Africa, niggers eat decomposing flesh of their dead relatives. And in Africa, a nigger woman will breastfeed her little nigglet with one breast and breastfeed a puppy dog with the other at the same time. Remember, white... Yeah, hello?
What?
Yes, what's your name?
Excuse me?
You got Cookie Puss's number?
No.
And I need to speak to Cookie Puss.
Excuse me?
You know her. She works there. Cookie Puss. Cookie Opus. Cookie Chick. Anybody. I got to speak to them.
Why?
You got the manager?
Excuse me?
Manager.
Why?
Hello?
Hello?
What's your name?
Why? I don't give my name to strangers.
Cookie Opus, then. Cookie Chick. Anybody. I gotta speak to them.
They're not available right now.
All right. I'm calling back. Is this Carvel?
Yes.
Wyandanch?
No.
Boulevard?
This is Sunridge.
So, where the fuck did I get this number? I thought I was calling the one down the road. I'm sorry. I called my baby Cookie Puss.
Oh, okay.
And they all know her by that name, you know? Sometimes I call the manager Cookie Chick.
Yeah.
And then there's the cookie Opus, which is a white bitch because she's very Irish with the freckles. And, what, you have freckles?
Excuse me?
You have freckles?
No.
Oh. Which one would you be? Because there's cookie puss, there's cookie chick, there's cookie Opus. Everybody.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Yes, I would like to inquire, or, how you say, hold on.
What?
Here we are. Solicit?
Yeah.
You're rather accurate and professional services. This is, of course, you are Ace, correct?
Yes.
Okay, Ace.
Well, there's no one in this evening to call you back, and
No. I don't need to be called. I need an appointment, if I could, is that the word? A stop by.
Well, let me have your name and number, and I'll call you back tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am. All right, ma'am. All right, Ace?
How do you spell that?
No. I was saying to you.
Right.
I was saying, all right, Ace?
All right.
Because you are Ace, correct? I am Ahmad. You are Ace.
Right.
All right.
And what's your telephone number?
My number is 212.
Right.
All right. It's 361, okay, Ace?
361.
That's right, 7217.
7217.
You got that, Ace?
Yes.
321-7217.
I'll call you back tomorrow.
All right. Could you perhaps, just to put me at ease for tonight, the service, the complete physical, the inventory,
yes.
Okay? I see you have drugs and... And the CPA accounts, perhaps the liquid. What is this that we are doing? That we are doing here?
Well, we count what you have.
That's exactly what I want. Okay.
Okay.
Very, very good.
Can we call you back tomorrow morning?
Well, I may not be in. I may be counting myself.
Well,
but
would you like to be called back?
You must call me at 4:30.
4:30? Very good.
A.M.
4:30 a.m?
Yes, I am a very...
In the office that early.
Well, someone has to call me. I am a working man. And, I won't...
I don't think they can call at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh.
I won't be in here. I won't be able to give them the message.
Okay.
Is there another time you'd like them to call you?
No, there's no other time.
Okay.
My friend. You must turn the nose down, Maricon.
I want to cut...